who's in charge here?
Detective Sergeant Jilks, he'll be back in a minute. Step back, sir, this Mercedes is evidence.
It's also on a jurisdictional boundary. Bedford CID need informing before anything is touched.
Right, just a moment, sir. Crime scene to Jilks, come in. Signal's dreadful around here.
Well, you better find him. Division's going ape. Look sharp. I'll hold the fort for you.
Right, thank you, sir.
Richard, Miss Pierce.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams.
Yeah, I threw him out. I don't know where you hired him from, but it wasn't funny. Oh, gotta go, Jeff. Not funny, Jeff.
Morning.
Morning,
Jilks. Came to check constabulary. Somebody reported a suspicious person at your petrol station this morning?
Yeah, I did, but I think it was a wind-up for my mate Jeff. He runs a forecourt on the other carriageway.
Oh, yes, I can see he's got a sense of humour from some of the second-hand vehicles he's flogging. Must have been welded together by a 12-year-old Asbo. Now, does this man look familiar?
Could be Gordon Way.
Mr. Way was murdered last night, a couple of miles down the road.
He stopped here for petrol, you know. Nice car. Yeah,
any car is nice that your mate Jeff hasn't got jacked up on his forecourt with offer written on his bonnet in whitewash.
Yeah.
Did Mr. Way do or say anything out of the ordinary? Nothing that struck you as odd?
I don't know. What's odd?
Well, for sake of argument, if I were to go, That's odd.
Now you come to mention it, no. Not with the people we get through here. Really, it was another ordinary customer on another ordinary night.
If last night was an ordinary night, then I am a pimple on the bottom of the Marquis of Queensbury's hat.
Let's put ourselves in Gordon Way's Gucci loafers. Last night, this Mercedes is travelling towards the country cottage where he'll be entertaining clients for the weekend. They're American, so he's carrying guns in the boot.
Sounds like a reasonable precaution.
And, as befits the owner of an expensive car stereo, he has no ear for music, so he's playing some old skating tune.
Strauss wrote old skating tunes, that's Ravel.
I thought he was the shoe shops.
You're not thinking of Freeman, Hardy and Willis?
Whilst driving, Gordon makes a call to his sister Susan and leaves a message on her answering machine. A message that its subject, her boyfriend Richard McDuff, finds when he breaks into her flat later in the evening. Correct, Richard?
Correct.
We'll come back to why you broke in later on. Now, whilst asking Susan to make sure Richard is working on vital software, Gordon hears a noise from the back of the car. Without hanging up, he gets out to check, at which point he is murdered with one of his own shotguns by an assailant who has to be hiding in this boot. Look closely at the boot lock. What can you see?
Brown material caught on a striker. Hessian, perhaps. Flecks of something brown.
Dry blood, presumably. Nothing conclusive.
What did you want? Hunks of flesh?
I'm merely demonstrating that traditional clue hunting will yield little of immediate use. The police will already have found it, and we've seen how far it's got them. Isn't it comforting to know that you're wanted?
Dirk, I promise you, I didn't do it.
Richard, I do not concern myself with such trivia as fingerprint powder, telltale pieces of pocket fluff, and inane footprints. The term holistic detective refers to the fundamental interconnection.
Yes, I heard you spin that line to your Mrs. Soskind. It sounds like a device for exploiting gullible old ladies.
It might be if they paid him.
My gift is to give a lot of charmingly quaint old ladies something to be happily cross about, whilst virtually guaranteeing the liberty of their cats. It's an optimistic way of life. I hope for fascinating and remunerative cases. My secretary hopes that I will pay her. Her landlord hopes that she might produce the rent. And hopefully, so it goes on.
And on, and on.
Is there, you ask, Richard, and I put the question for you because I know you know I hate to be interrupted, is there a single case that exercises the tiniest part of my intellect, which, as you hardly need me to tell you, is prodigious? No. But do I despair? Yes, until today.
Oh, my misery has lifted your depression. That's a comfort. So what was all the rubbish about cats and quantum mechanics?
That depends on your view of clairvoyance.
And what's your view? I'd be interested to know, given your history.
What history?
I take the view I have always taken.
Which is?
That I'm not clairvoyant.
Then what about the exam papers?
What exam papers?
A coincidence. Coincidences can be frightening and dangerous things. That one caused me to be locked away with a lot of people who, coincidentally, were also protesting their innocence.
You do know that policeman will be back any moment.
Exactly. Now, what impression can Gordon Way have had of being shot?
What impression? The man was dead.
Was he? You saw Gordon further up the road after the time of death.
I was hallucinating. Look, I was stressed.
Not as stressed as someone getting shot.
Quite. Here is Gordon Way, freshly killed, wondering what to do next.
What are you doing?
Channeling. We need to retrace the dead man's movements after the shot was fired.
You just said you weren't a clairvoyant.
I'm not. There's no scientific method in clairvoyance, no way of measuring its results without the collapse of logic. But that leaves the 50-50 chance that somewhere beyond our capacity to measure, the waveform packet that was once a sentient mind survives. A scientific conundrum I intend to explore. Holistically.
Oh, is it me or is it suddenly freezing cold? Oh, Gordon. Just a moment. Right.
Susan.
Michael, come in.
I've come to offer my condolences about Gordon. Terrible news. Shocking.
Yes. Tea.
No, I won't stay. Your cello's out. I've interrupted you.
No, not really. Saves thinking. I don't mean to be presumptuous, but might those flowers be for me? I'm only there dripping on the...
Oh, yes, forgot. Here. Happy, no, I mean, with a card. Sorry.
Oh. Thank you. Yes, I'll put them in water.
Right. Oh, music stand, sheet music.
Yes, quite useful in my job, being a cellist.
Oh, Vivaldi. I was listening to some Vivaldi this morning.
Oh.
I used to like Vivaldi, but this morning it sounded dull, unfulfilling.
Michael, are you feeling all right?
The music didn't stir me. It sort of failed in the attempt. So I looked up the article your boyfriend wrote for Fathom about how music is our way of describing the mathematical processes that lie at the heart of nature.
And?
It was like Vivaldi didn't get it.
Maybe he didn't want it.
You remember Fathom, don't you? My mother took it away from me. She sold it to Gordon. Fathom was my life.
I know it was. Gordon meant nothing personal.
Hold my hand.
Look, we have both had a rotten 24 hours. I've lost my brother, and you've lost your magazine.
Who would have thought Richard would kill Gordon?
He didn't! Ow! Michael! You're squeezing my fingers! Thank you.
I had nightmares last night, Susan. I dreamt of mud.
Tiger-feet mud? Well, hardly Vivaldi.
No, mud. Slimy creatures with legs everywhere.
Legs everywhere or creatures everywhere?
Yes, slimy things did crawl with legs upon the slimy sea.
Oh, I know. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Coleridge, wasn't it?
Yes, he was. He was a useful poet.
It is an ancient mariner, and he stoppeth one of three. That's all I can remember. Bit depressing.
And a thousand slimy things lived on. And so did I.
Yes. You know, Michael, it's very kind of you to visit. And I expect it looks as if I'm taking the news of my brother's murder really terribly well, but despite all his faults, he was my brother, and I can only deal with so many unsettling events at one time, so I am going to ask you to leave now.
Yeah, of course. Must go. Something urgent I need to do.
We'll talk soon.
If only I could think what it is.
Goodbye, Michael.
Yes, you haven't seen a monk, have you?
No!
Some maps and drove off. Apart from the fancy dress monk, that was all there was to it. Is it all right if I go back to work?
Yeah, just sign at the bottom, under the words, I confess. My little joke. You're not under suspicion. Yet. But we will be requiring a fuller statement later, sir. Right now, I need to see a man about a horse.
Ah, here's the key.
For?
The toilet.
No, I really do have to see a man about a horse.
Detective Sergeant!
We've got a bit of a problem with the crime scene, sir. Technically, it's on Bedfordshire's patch.
And you thought that GCSE in geography was wasted.
Gordon Way is dead, but he simply hasn't the slightest idea what he's meant to do about it.
Bloody hell! I'm dead! Me.
No. What's happening?
Yes.
He's trying to give his own body CPR.
Hands just slide off.
You're kidding.
Wake up.
He's lost his temper. He's trying to strangle his own corpse.
Wake up, Gordon, you utter bastard. Oh, wake up.
Oh, dear.
Oh, damn it.
All he's managed to do is give it a sickly grin and a squint, and bruises on its neck. Ah, he's had an idea. The phone. It's still lying on the passenger seat. Still recording on Susan's answering machine. He can't pick it up, so he's pushing his face down onto it. High emotion seems to improve his...
Susan, help me! Help me, for God's sake! Susan, I'm dead! I'm dead and I don't know what to do!
The answering machine came.
Help me, Susan!
Oh. Disconnected the call.
Bloody thing!
He didn't mean to do that. Car's just passed. Obviously, its headlights didn't pick up the body in the long grass. It's given Gordon an idea, though.
Get up. Flag someone down. Yes! That's it!
He's going back to the body. He's walked to the back of the car to where the body is. Ah. Was.
Was?
It's not there.
What?
We have to go, but we can follow Gordon after he left the car. He cut across this field here. Go!
Very good. Excellent work, Constable. And for your next trick, you can drive the murder vehicle to Longleat and let a troop of baboons loose on it. Right, what's the time? Oh, great, I've got 20 minutes to find a field.
Any particular kind? Can I help?
I wouldn't trust you to find a field if I threw you in one. No, the RSPCA needs somewhere to stick a horse. I know precisely where I'd like to stick a horse at this minute, but it's not division-approved disciplinary procedure, so you'd better wait here. And don't allow any more crime tourists to hoodwink you. Yeah, and if a bloke from the RSPCA turns up, give me a call.
Radios are playing up a bit, Detective Sergeant.
Then send him up the road to find me.
Yes, sir.
Gordon came this way, cutting across towards the main road there.
Which is where I saw him.
Mr. Macduff?
Richard.
Richard, what happened with Mr. Gently and the exam papers?
Right, well... Dirk was always different. He stood out as a bit of a character from the moment he arrived at Cambridge, and that takes some doing. His name was Vlad then. Vlad Celi. He claimed his mother's family came from Transylvania, the smarter end.
What, the bit with indoor plumbing, not the bit with castles and vampires?
Well, I say he claimed it, but he denied it, which made it sound all the more likely. By denying all the rumours that he probably started in the first place, he was instantly...
popular?
Notorious.
Try and keep up. Gordon turns right here.
Coming!
So, what about the exams?
The exams, right. I suppose it began with Dirk's roommate, Steve Mander. Dirk had dined out, had a big meal and a lot to drink, so he went to bed early. But Steve had exams the next day.
Dirk, I'm trying to revise economic history here.
So shush!
You're opening up in the trade route. Never mind. The turning point for the growth of empire. Yeah, discuss.
What?
The Franco-Prussian War. It's with, well, it's very contrast and barren.
Stuffing it. I was just reading up on. Wait a minute. Okay. Say that again.
The next day's exam had questions on everything Dirk had mentioned in his sleep.
Coming! Go on.
For the next month, Dirk was wined and dined every night in the hope that he would sleep soundly and dream speak exam questions. The better he was fed, and the finer the wine, the more he'd talk in his sleep, and the better Steve got at shorthand. But ask Dirk about his supposed powers, and he'd deny everything. Come on, Dirk. People are saying all sorts of things, and you're denying it. But something's going on.
Richard, if I really could predict this stuff, don't you think I'd get it right more often?
That was the thing. He wasn't 100% correct when his sleep talk was put to the exam test. And that's what made the likelihood of him being the real thing seem even more likely.
So he was.
Everybody thought so. Even my tutor.
Young Macduff, I didn't just call you in to dispense the usual doom about buckling down to it in your final year. Oh, please don't fiddle with the abacus, it's very old. Oh,
sorry.
Slad Jelly.
Dirk Gently?
Of whichever he's going by this term. There are rumours that he's selling exam questions.
What?
Now, I know you've struck up a friendship with him, and I want to warn you against getting involved.
You mustn't take Dirk too seriously. You know him. He feels he's got something to prove.
Yes. If he were really making some kind of profit, surely by now he'd have bought himself a half-decent hat.
I think Dirk was basically honest, but we're all subject to temptation. Does that make sense?
Yes. I just wish he'd feel tempted to pay me.
His judgment is poor, though, or he wouldn't have made predictions about the questions for the final exams under hypnosis.
That's not the same as talking in his sleep.
No. Hefty bribes were offered to see them. He said he was shocked by the idea. It would be dishonest.
There had to be an angle.
A short time later, he let slip that his mother urgently needed expensive dental work, which could only be performed by an East European surgeon now living in Malibu. And since other people seemed to have a faith in his powers that he himself did not, and the experiment would prove this, he was happy to indulge them by letting them pay for his mother's operation. All the exam papers he sold turned out to be the same as the papers that were actually set. Exactly. Word for word. He left Cambridge University in a police van.
Over here!
Come on.
I believe sugar.
Did you, Sergeant Jukes?
Wholesome.
I've got another weirdo. Some kind of priest. Over.
There are some chocolates.
Excuse me, sir.
Between meals without ruining your appetite.
Father?
What is your name, my son?
Constable Luke.
Luke, I am your father.
No, wait, hang on. What are you doing here?
I'm looking for a horse.
Oh, you're from the RSPCA. Why didn't you say so?
I did not know you needed to believe it.
Huh.
Now that I do, you can rest assured it is the cornerstone of my faith. A faith which has required some recalibrating in the last 24 hours.
Huh?
I was stranded, you see, with my horse, you see. We were running out of water.
Ah, DS Jerks thought something was delaying you. Was there a problem?
Yes, yes, there certainly was. You should know about it.
Oh, right, right, sir. I'll just get my notepad then.
Gordon Way stops here, on this bend. He's trying to flag a car down.
Yeah, this is where I stopped, where I thought I saw him.
Pure coincidence that you should be passing just as he wants to hitch a lift.
Pure coincidence?
The purer, the more holistically significant.
Hitch a lift? Of course, he's a ghost. What else would he do? He needs to get to the newsagent so he can read his obituary.
Very good, Miss Pierce. Indeed, he's wondering if a dead person can sue for libel if they don't do him justice. But having succeeded in making a car stop, yours, Richard, he's exhausted himself. Materializing even for a few seconds has worn him out.
Which is why I can't see him.
Then he has an idea.
I've got an idea. I want to go home. What?
As you can see, I am an electric monk.
Electric monk?
Well, yes. Obviously. Or perhaps not. Would you like to see the demonstration? It's part of my firmware.
All right.
In today's competitive world, there's not enough time to absorb the information thrown at you by the media. You wouldn't want your video recorder lounging around on the sofa all day while it was watching TV, picking its nose, drinking beer, and sending out for pizzas. Get yourself an electric monk and get ahead. The electric monk is designed to look as artificial as possible.
But don't interrupt.
Built with an eye for originality and design, and also for practical horse riding ability. After all, things look more sincere on a horse. So, instead of the primes of 17, 19, or 23, two legs are both more suitable and cheaper. The skin of an electric monk is pinkish-looking instead of natural purple, and they're restricted to just the one mouth and nose, but have been given an additional eye, making for a grand total of two! A strange-looking creature, friends, but truly excellent at believing the most impossible thing.
Actual monk may differ from illustrational packaging.
I'm sorry, I can't take all this in.
You neither. Be careful you don't short-circuit. I was accidentally cross-connected to a video recorder that was monitoring 11,000 TV channels at once. The video recorder only had to watch them. It didn't have to believe them all as well. The man from the monk shop told my owner that I needed a whole new motherboard.
Oh, so you're, faulty?
I was turned out into a desert where I could believe what I liked, including a complete and utter certainty that the desert was pink. I was allowed to keep my horse, since horses are cheap to make. So I put my simple electric truss in pink rocks, pink birds, and pink clouds until a pink human appeared. He did not see me. He was rubbing pink dust onto his pink face. And that's when I knew I could safely believe there must be a doorway out of there. And I found it. And I came here. But I've lost my horse.
Right. Look, sir, about the horse. You need to talk to Detective Sergeant Jilks. He's waiting for you.
Of course he is.
Oops. Didn't leave much evidence. Whoever blew the cottage up.
Pretty big for a cottage.
It was a Victorian rectory. Gordon didn't buy economy size.
Right, let's focus. Gordon's lost everything. His life, his future, even his body. He can't think what else to do but finish his journey and come here. Oh, that's interesting.
What?
The door's open.
What door?
The front door, which you are currently standing on, was open last night.
Ah, yeah.
This strikes Gordon as strange, but convenient. He's feeling a bit nauseous about the idea of walking through walls. Now he doesn't have to. Ah, he's got a new idea. He's going to raid the fridge.
What would a ghost eat?
Goulash. Sorry.
He's not used to being dead. Usually when Gordon can't sleep, he comes downstairs to see what's in the fridge.
Anything's better than hanging around all night waiting for things to go bad. Especially for me.
He's noticing something about himself. His ability to grasp things seems to grow and fade in a sort of slow rhythm. Just at this moment, it seems that his strength is on the increase.
How many things in this kitchen can I make work? Let's see.
He's pulling open cupboards, yanking out drawers, scattering cutlery on the floor.
There's a man loose in a kitchen.
Oh, food processor. He's turned on the gas. But he can't light it. There's one cupboard he didn't manage to open. The broom cupboard.
Turn, you swine!
He's determined to finish the job.
Yes!
And he's done it. Ah! Ah, something fell out.
A broom?
His body.
Nice touch.
Good gracious. I didn't know it was possible for a ghost to faint.
So, who blew up the cottage?
Gordon did.
He left the gas on.
Who put the body in the cupboard?
Don't know. And I've lost the trail. Gordon's gone.
So, we still don't know who killed him, and I'm still wanted. Has this been any use at all?
It has been of the most extraordinary use. Now we have to get back to the office. There's something urgent I need to do.
Go to the bank?
Hypnotize Richard again.
There you come, old fella. Steady on there.
That's a good boy. There, just take his halter, Sergeant, while I close up the box. Farmer says he'll look after the horse till we trace the owner.
Easy, man. Look, he'll be all right, will he?
He's got grass, a nice big tree to shelter under, a nice stream down the bottom of the hill to drink from. Couldn't be nicer. Off you go then, lad.
Thanks for your help.
No problem, Sergeant Goods. Let me trace the owner.
Note to memory circuits. Error check protocol indicates that boundless faith in twigs as food does not make them so. Conclusion. Electric monks do not eat twigs. Must remember to bring food. Must remember not to lose horse. New data. Logging a truly miraculous event. A reward at last for this humble monk's unstinting and promiscuous devotion. The mission is resumed. Geronimo! Hi-ho, silverware!
In episode 3 of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams, Harry Enfield played Dirk Gently, and Billy Boyd was Richard Macduff. Olivia Colman was Janice Pierce, Felicity Montague, Susan Way, and Michael Fenton Stevens played Michael Wenton Weeks. Toby Longworth was the Electric Monk, Robert Duncan played Gordon Way, Jim Carter was Jilks, and Andrew Sachs played Professor Chronotis. Wayne Forrester was Constable Luke, Andy Seacombe, Steve Mander, and Philip Pope played the garage attendant. The announcer was John Marsh. The music was by Philip Pope. The program was dramatized by Dirk Maggs and John Langdon. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency was produced by Joe Wheeler and the director, Dirk Maggs, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.